Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Gumbo Yaya, brought to you by Sable Hunter and Buku Publishing. I'm Debbie Workman, your host, and I'd like to share a few things with you that we have going on with BC. We have three Buku titles that have been nominated for Roan Awards 2015. These are Midnight's Fate by Isabel Kate in the paranormal category. We also have in the American historical category The Gangster's Kiss by Ginger Ring. Those can be voted on between April 13th, today, through the 19th. And in the category for Sweet Contemporary Romance, we have The Captain and the Queen by Frank Bourne. And that can be voted on between April 20th and April 26th. You can head over to indetail.com/2015-RoanAwards to register your vote. And you can find all three of these awesome titles on Amazon.com. So congratulations to those three authors. And I would like to welcome tonight my co-host, Lisa Kate. Hi, Lisa.
Hey. Hi.
And we are pleased to be interviewing tonight, chatting with Miss Palessa.
Hello.
Hi, Palessa.
Hey.
Hi. Well, I'm really hot.
It's what?
It's hot.
It's hot. How hot is it over there?
Oh, believe me.
I thought we were talking about your book.
Oh, that too, but this kind of helps with the writing. But, you know, when I'm like sweating, I'm kind of dripping right now. It's that hot.
Oh, wow.
And not in a good way.
Uh-huh.
It's an interesting show.
And I'm suffering with a sunburn.
Oh, man,
my forehead is as red as a beet. From sitting
in the sun
yesterday. Yeah, it's very painful. So I've been Googling all day remedies to put on my forehead.
Aloe is beautiful. Aloe
I know. I said,
this
is the time when you really want that aloe vera plant.
Yeah, no, believe me. I have a couple of neighbors, and I had a little incident with some pigs. And, well, that, yeah, that kind of helped a lot.
Yeah.
It was not fun. It was not fun. It was not fun.
I bet.
Chamomile tea bags will help you, too.
Oh, chamomile tea bags.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try that. Yeah, I was in there earlier, and I was like, okay, witch hazel. I have witch hazel. So I was putting that
sunscreen?
On.
Sunscreen? No? No, not sunscreen?
Yeah, sunscreen. That would have been nice.
That would have been.
Palessa, you just recently came out, so to speak, and revealed that Palessa is your pen name. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? What drew you to do that? And you could share with the listeners your real name.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no. It's like the worst case secret. But, yeah, my real name is Diane. No problem. Everybody who's seen me, you know, has seen Diane on there. I think people can kind of put things together, but it came to my attention that a couple of authors who are also working under pen names had, I guess, I don't know, there was an incident with someone specific telling somebody that they're fake or whatever, and I'm like, well, I guess in light of everything, I said, you know, let me just go ahead and just let the cat out of the bag, not like the cat wasn't out of the bag anyway. But
right.
I decided to come out officially and just say, okay, this is my name, this is what I do, I own it all now. It's all out there. So, yeah, me and my clone, I'm not a clone as much as I'd love to have one. So that's basically what's been going on with that. I just wanted to come clean, or come out, not come clean, but just come out fully as Diane Dixon.
It seems like there's more readers out there, you know, like, not readers, but people trying to bring out people's names. And I think a lot of authors have pen names. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. I think it's just petty. people are just being petty by doing that. Because
I think so. Yeah, and I just don't understand why the need. I mean, it's a brand that we're building, and
right.
at least I saw it that way. I mean, I still treat it like that time, but now it's just, you know, it's now out there, and I don't think there's going to be anything wrong with it, but just in case anyone decided to say, oh, is there something going on my end? It's on beach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Well, do what you want to do. Everybody knows who I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now everybody knows, you know, so it's cool.
Yeah.
Just also know that I also have some, you know, nonfiction stuff with DC as well, but my fiction stuff, I have to admit, it's just so much fun. It really is.
And do you want to tell us a little bit about, you do have one book published with Buku under your real name, Diane. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
That was, oh my gosh, I had this blog, it's a weight loss herbs for health. It's been taken down now. But I would, where I live is just a plethora of plants and animals. In fact, right outside my window right now, I'm looking at an avocado tree. And
oh,
it's
wow.
got little avocados on it. Oh, yeah, no, it's full. When that tree gets full and ready, we're going to hit it hard. But,
wow.
you know, there's a lot of stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on as far as food is concerned and really, you know, how food can help with your health. So what I did was that I said, okay, I came up with a blog, I did some research, and I came up with these articles. And since being here, I had come up with some, you know, I had actually lost weight. It wasn't intentional. It just kind of happened, and I'm good with it. But, you know, it made me realize that there are certain foods you can eat that can help your body in a lot of ways. And I think that's kind of how food is supposed to be. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the Oreos.
Oh, right.
I mean, I don't see any nutritional value in Oreos.
And the Nutella.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a Nutella freak, as some of you may or may not know. But, you know,
and
I
coffee.
Love... and coffee. Believe me, I'm... Cheesecake, I love food in general. But, you know, there's certain kind of foods that I think we should probably eat a little bit more of that help. Avocados being one of them. I actually wrote an article about avocados and how they're actually great for women. You know, they're fantastic. It's a great source of fat, and they're also fantastic for, you know, for our bodies because, you know, our bodies we're special. Let's face it, we're special much. And we need special kind of care. So avocados are great for, you know, I think it helps to balance the hormones, if I remember it a little bit correctly. But it's like I said, it's great fat. You eat it, and it fills you up. And, I mean, you can eat it with anything. You can take out, you can even, I've heard people put it with cheesecake. I'm like, I don't know how you do that, but okay.
No, I make sandwiches with it. I love sandwiches with it.
Well, the thing is that it is so versatile that you can actually put in anything, and it can take the flavor of anything.
Yeah.
So when somebody say put it in cheesecake, you probably won't be able to smell it. You won't be able to taste it. It'll just taste like cheesecake.
With avocados. I've had them in guacamole, and I know that's not the healthiest choice. You know, I know a lot of people will slice them and maybe put them on their salad or like Lisa said, you know, on sandwiches or whatever. I haven't got to that point yet, but I know they're so good for you.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because you said it's guacamole's not healthy. I've never seen
it is.
A healthy guacamole.
Really?
It's basically just avocados with tomatoes and onions and some lime. There's nothing else in there unless you put, if you want to put cheese, it's fine. But
if you put sour cream, then that's changing.
A friend of mine had made it one time before, and she made it with mayonnaise. And I was like, oh, my gosh, and I'm a mayonnaise junkie. I mean, I'll put mayonnaise on my French fries. You know? I haven't been doing that lately because I'm trying to do the right thing, as Lisa knows. And and one of my roommates recently made the guacamole, and she made it just like you said, Diane. She just used tomato, a fresh avocado, and she used a little bit of lemon juice. And it was so good, I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, we don't need mayonnaise.
Really? That's all you need, and we actually, the way we eat it is that it's straight out of the skin. I mean, I couldn't do that when I was in Miami because I just couldn't. But as I've gotten here and I've gotten it, it's really just been great. So I'm looking forward to this tree, and this tree looks really good, too.
I bet.
Yeah, my neighbors are kind enough to share with us, too. So we have
a tree also.
I have no neighbors.
Of course.
I have no demons that I wish to claim. So, be my father.
And this book is titled Weight Loss, Herbs, and Health, and it's available on Amazon, and you would look under Diane Dixon for anybody who's interested in checking this out. And can we talk about your latest release, Sacked and Tackled? Is that your new series?
Yes.
And I believe this one is Toby Fine. You want to tell us a little bit about Toby Fine and what brought you to write that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Toby Fine was just, it was a fun write. I think after I'd written A of B Girls, which was published in January, it's an historical, and it really took a lot of research. I mean, it was a great write. I will write another historical again for sure. It was that fun to me. But I have to admit, it took a lot out of me, and I needed a break. And, you know, I'd been playing around with the idea because, A of B Girls is about football. And it was at least the regular football, not American football, soccer is what it's called. So I said, well, I mean, what about kind of going into the NFL realm, the American football realm? And I said, well, if I'm going to do this, I don't want to do it as a regular NFL thing because I wasn't sure how that was going to play out as far as copyright, trademark, and all that stuff. So I said, okay. And I went ahead and I actually came up with a league. That is like a semi-pro league, and I came and it was so funny because I came up with 20 teams, all their names. I'm even working on some logos. So it's
you made that up.
I'm sorry, what?
You made that up? The semi-pro
Tiger football league.
Yeah.
No, I mean
that was awesome.
Season.
I totally
sure
bought it. I thought that was real.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure they're semi-pro. I've heard of semi-pro, but I don't know that they are, you know, they're like, I don't know what they are, really. I've not heard much of them, but they are out there.
I'm impressed. I said, I'm impressed.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, believe me, I came up with, like, the whole thing as far as how they play. It's not like it is in the NFL. It's a little different. It's how they come up. And, I mean, there's a whole there that I would love to share with people, like maybe on a wiki or something when I have the chance to do that. So, you know, with that, I said, well, if I'm going to do this, let me go profile the players. These players are human, and I didn't want to go with the whole dumb jock thing. These guys are actually smart. Some of them ain't. you know, these guys, they play after regular football, so they have like 4 months within the summer. There's no kind of winter thing. They can work with the pros. They're there's a whole, I guess, society there that I kind of came up with and said, I'm going to have a lot of fun with it. So Toby Fine was this idea that I had, and it was with another story that I couldn't quite fit. So I said, this would be great for this. And then it kind of came to me about, you know, the guy that you thought was really, really cute and hot and you'd like to kind of have the opportunity to meet him one day, but unfortunately, things didn't quite go the way you planned, and you still kind of hold a little bit of a grudge for it. I know this because I have experience in that. So it was a little bit, and I was like, you know what? That's how it came about, how the whole thing with Nivea and Toby came about then. And there are some, you know, fun parts, but of course there's that subplot that there's something going on in the SFL itself. It's starting. That's the start of it. And I didn't really know what it was, and I'm still kind of figuring it out, but it's coming to me slowly but surely. But I like the idea also, and I will say this, I love the idea of Marge Steinger being the head of this entire thing. I mean, I don't know if I will ever see a woman ahead of a football league.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, you know what? In my books, yes.
That's right.
I want
it's
her
your
there.
World, right?
It's my world, yes. So I said, yes, she is definitely the head of this, and she's a legacy head. But then, like I said, there's a story with her and everything. So, yeah, there's a legacy head there, and I like her there. So,
and for the readers that are listening, Diane, what would be the heat level for this book?
Oh, no, I've never, you know what, I'd say 4 out of 5, if not 5. There is an M&M love scene in there. I didn't know, honestly, when I started writing it. I was like, oh, my.
It just sort of happened.
Wow. this is going to happen. And I'm like, well, let it be. So I wrote it in there, and it's, and I think, you know, he's, there's a story with him that I want to explore.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
So that's for a later book, but not right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your historical book, how do you pronounce that? Ayubea Girls?
Ayubea, yeah. Ayubea.
Ayubea, a girl. Okay, mm-hmm. What made you decide to go venture into the historical side of writing?
You know, I was watching World Cup and cheering on the Netherlands, who came in third. But I won't go into that.
I knew you were, you and Lisa both, I believe, were really watching the soccer game.
Oh, my gosh. We were, I mean, I can't, I no, no, I'm not going to go into that, because that was just crazy.
Yeah, because there's like a thing around that.
Yeah.
One of those players there.
In my butt, whatever.
I think I'm the only one that wasn't watching, but I know everybody was talking.
The town, I call them the town criers, but.
No, it was, here it was a thing, believe me, it was a thing, the neighbors got into it, so, but anyway. I was going to, and I said, you know what, I wanted to do a little, it's like a feel-good story, like what if there was a woman in a village somewhere that, you know, the football would really be a help to the girls, and I said, okay, great. And I put out the outline and everything, and it was supposed to be a simple story, you know, something feel-good, and then I started writing it. Yeah. And that's when things started happening.
I haven't had a chance to read that yet, but I know my roommate absolutely loved it. She really liked that
thank
read.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I did not realize, I realized that it was going to be research, but, you know, as I went through it, and I didn't realize it was going to be that extensive, and I wound up really enjoying it because I got to learn a little bit about, you know, Jamaican culture, because the town of Eb is actually, you know, based on some history here. The Maroons here are the basis for that. Yeah, they pretty much gave the British the business back in the day. I mean, it was brutal. And it was, you know, to the point where the British said, okay, you get this land, this land, this land, and we will leave you alone. So there was that. So I based Ayubea on that idea, made them an independent township, not dominated, but they're influenced by outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
By the colonials. So with that in mind, and then with the whole thing about Lisbeth, you know, Lisbeth lied to me, basically. I thought it was an interesting, simple story, and Lisbeth was like, no, there's more to this. And I wasn't sure if it was going to be a standalone or a part of a series, but the more I started writing it, the more I realized this was a part of a series. I did some research on a particular event that happened in about 1907 England, and the next book is going to cover that. It's going to kind of be based or influenced by that. But I, you know, it's going to take me a little bit of time to kind of write that out, because I have to go through what I was able to get and do everything. But it was, honestly, I didn't know the rabbit hole. I didn't know what a rabbit hole was until I went down it in writing this book. And I would do it again. I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Wow.
A lot of fun.
And I've read your Baxter Family Saga, and that's Unchained Hearts. Is that series complete? I haven't been able to go through to the second and third book yet. Do you have more coming in that series?
Yeah, well, the three books are, the Baxter's complete, because and I didn't realize this until like 4 months after I wrote book three, which is kind of funny, in a weird way. But it was the thread that tied those books together had to do with the brothers, you know, with Grayson and with Cash. You know, Quinn, I was thinking of a book four, but it didn't fit, because she was so young when all this was happening that I was like, you know, based on the central theme of the series, she just wasn't gonna fit there. It just couldn't. So what I thought was, you know, in the last book, I kind of left a little bit of a clue as to what was gonna happen. What's gonna happen with it is going to be the start of a new series. It's a series that I've had in my head for a while, but I thought that it was going to start with someone else.
Mm-hmm. Quinn is going to be the start of that new series. And then the second book is going to be what was previously the first book. I'm going to introduce a new character, a couple of new characters. Well, the new character that I introduced in book three for Baxter is called Sandro. Sandro Milia, his name is Alessandro. But
okay.
He's kind of a, he's a, imagine a character that is really, really dark, that kind of, I don't want to say has no soul. He has a soul, but he like does not pretend like he doesn't have one. There's so many layers to him that I'm still trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been in my head for at least a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
So mm-hmm. I have, yeah, a year and a half, and the character that I, the woman that is the main character of his series is a woman by the name of Mia. She is going to be, I think, an interesting character once I get to know her a little bit more. I've been thinking about her for a while, but I haven't really sat down and gotten to her yet. So I'm hoping to get started at least outlining that later on in the year.
That sounds great.
Yeah,
I'm hoping it's going to be, if, I hope it's not, I hope it, you know, comes out well. That's my one big thing. Whatever I write, I hope I enjoy writing, and I always do, but I hope it also translates well. So that's always been my focus whenever I've written any kind of fiction, any, actually anything, but, you know, since it's on the fiction, that's my thought.
What's mm-hmm. next for Palesta?
Oh, my gosh.
Lots of things are planned, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I have, I actually just sent up book two in Sacked and Tackled. I had written, I wrote these books while I was kind of waiting for AOB growth to kind of settle a little bit, because I mm-hmm. went through quite a few passes on that one. So I had a little bit of downtime, and I wrote outlines for 2.5 books in the series of Sacked and Tackled.
That's awesome.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. Believe me, when I have a chance to sit down and read and write, and without any kind of distraction, because Facebook can be a bit of a distraction sometimes.
Yes, it can.
Yeah. You know, I want to do that again. So what? The first two books were written fully. The third one is like halfway written. And I'm going to be working on that one again. The rest of the year is mostly going to be me working on stuff. I may put out another book by the end of the year, but my first is just getting the stories and the outlines right and getting the stories right. So Devereaux Cox is going to be the focus of the next book in Sacked and Tackled, and he was introduced in the prologue of Toby Fine. He was one of the guys that was at the restaurant.
Okay, I remember.
Yeah, and I think I shared on my page, and I shared on the Palesta page, my inspiration for Devereaux Cox. Mm-hmm. I was rather inspired by that picture. I was inspired many times by that picture. Let me tell you, I think I saw him like in one of those magazines. He was like they call him the hottie of the day or whatever. Uh-huh. I looked at him and I was like, oh my, it was the eyes that just did it. And I have never forgotten that man. I hear he's from Jersey. He's from New Jersey. And I was like, wow, I didn't know they grew like that in Jersey, but okay. But yeah, so I mean, he was my inspiration for Devereaux Cox. I don't know if he's, you know, if he's 6'5" or whatever, but I looked and I said, yeah. And that's who I had in mind when I came up with this idea. And I will say that Isabel Kate, who's just a great writer, she beta read that one for me. And I wanted to make sure it was, you know, it was okay. And she said to me basically, she goes, you know, he's a bit of a git. And I said, yeah, he is, but you'll love him. So I will say this, he is a bit of a git, which translates to basically, he comes off as just a jerk in certain, not a jerk, but just, what's the word I'm looking for? Lost, clueless, just blind in certain parts of the book. But his eyes are open, and that's the story of him. You know, of that's the story with him and Rebecca. His eyes were open to something. And it was his eyes are open to a couple of things, really. And it was it's a transformation, I think, that I think the audience will like and they'll appreciate. And they'll get to love him at the end of the story and see what he's really about. And I think that's the whole thing about Sax and Tackle. If you've read, since Lisa's read it, Sax and Tackle is you know, it's kind of, it's the name of the series, but the Sax and Tackle is actually the name of a station in the series. And I said, and it was one of those things where I said, when I was like, oh, wow, yeah, that's actually pretty interesting. So the name of the series is Sax and Tackle, and it has to do with football. But it's kind of like there's a Sax and Tackle network in there. It's kind of like an ESPN for semi-pro leagues.
Oh, okay.
That's a part of the, that's a part of the story. So, you know, I'll go into it and hopefully we'll get to know, you know, a few more players and kind of see them as humans. No, I hope. You can enjoy. I will go in a little bit into, I remember talking to Lori about, you know, the book and everything. She's like, well, for those who don't enjoy football, she enjoyed it. She enjoyed the book. Because she's football. She knows nothing about it. But she's like, I can enjoy the book because it wasn't overly football. And I said, I didn't want to go overly football. I want to just have this thing where it's like, okay, there's a game, there's football, these are football players. But, you know, they have lives. There's stuff that's going on in their lives, and believe me.
Right.
I want to find whatever stories I can within those football heroes' lives and kind of have fun with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we can enjoy the sports romance without being so savvy about the sports. Because, I mean, I've read hockey romances and, you know, football or whatever. I know nothing about sports except football players are really good on that field. That's all I know. But I don't know
I get into it. I mean, I grew up in Miami, so I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, which, again, we won't go into that because that's just a sore subject as well. that's just a sore subject between me and my dad. But you know what? And I'm familiar with the lingo. I don't think I'll ever be 100% familiar with football because there's a lot that goes into it, and I just don't have the time to sit back and read it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I will get into the game, and I'll be sitting there like, you know, when we had the Super Bowl, and you heard what the Seahawks did, and everybody was like, "You did what?"
Yeah.
I get into it.
Yeah,
you sit there going, the Seahawks did what, and they were how far? They were, what, 2 inches from the gun and decide to throw? Really? We won't go into that again.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it's, you know, I get into it, but I don't want to bog it down to the point where people are like, oh, my God, all this lingo, I can't understand it. That's not what the story is really about. If there's a part where, you know, in the third book where I actually go into a little bit of the play, but it's nothing where I, you know, where we go into this whole thing of, of the lingo, fully lingo. It doesn't go full lingo. You get the action, but you don't get full lingo. So I think for somebody who may not understand the football game, I hope it's I think they'll enjoy the story of the football player.
It's a great storyline. It's sexy, and there's a great story between the couple and the extra character. I mean, it was really good. And you don't have to be a huge football fan or anything to read it. I think people, even that don't understand a lot about football, would really enjoy it. It's a great story.
Oh, thanks for that on Amazon.
Thank you.
Diane, can you give the listeners your links so they can know where to find you?
Yes, ma'am. I can go, you can go on to, I'm on Author Palesta, my Facebook page. And also there's Author Palesta on Amazon. Basically, anything where you see Author Palesta is usually me. I'm
That's
on
right.
Pinterest. I'm on Goodreads. I'm on Too. I'm on Google Plus. I'm on Twitter. I love Twitter. Author Palesta on Twitter. I love Twitter. I mean, whatever I can find myself on, I am there.
And all your books can be found on Amazon.com. We have the Baxter Family Saga series, Ube Girls, and Sacked and Tackled. All available on Amazon.com.
Yep.
Palesta, I want to thank you for joining Lisa and myself this week. Mm-hmm. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Great to talk to you.
It's fun
Lisa,
to have, you know.
Thank you for joining me. And everyone have a great week.
Thanks,
everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.